Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Kirloskar Ferrous Industries Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pallav Agarwal from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Seema, and good afternoon, everyone. A very warm welcome to everyone for the Q1 FY24 earnings call for Kirloskar Ferrous Industries. Today we are joined by the senior management represented by Mr. R.V. Gumastesh, Managing Director, and Mr. R.S. Sreevatsan, the Executive Director, Finance and CFO. So I would now like to hand over to Mr. Gumastesh for his opening comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much, Pallav, for your introduction. Let me first of all welcome all the analysts and investors for the Kirloskar Ferrous Industries Quarter One conference call. Let me start briefly with the update on Pig-Iron business. As all of you know, iron and steel industry currently going through headwinds, and we being part of the Pig-Iron industry, so pressure on margins is very clear because of the much higher levels of iron ore prices as well as the coking coal prices. Subsequently, coking coal prices have come down slightly, and currently the premium coking coal around $250 per metric ton. During Quarter One, we operated mainly two blast furnaces and not all three blast furnaces running in full because of the relining requirement at Hiriyur and subsequently changing to bellless stop on blast furnace one. We are currently not running blast furnace one, and we expect to start blast furnace one in the first week of September. The Pig-Iron quantities for Quarter One was at 124,414 metric ton, which is an improvement of 29% compared to the Quarter One of last year. In case of castings, 34,264 tons, which is an improvement of close to 3% from 33,124. With respect to sales, we sold 111,438 metric ton of Pig-Iron in Quarter One compared to 87,292 metric ton Quarter One last year, an improvement of 27.7%. However, the Pig-Iron realization this year in Quarter One was 45,663 rupees against 59,606 rupees, which is a drop of 23.4%. So because of this, sales of Pig-Iron in terms of value, in value terms, has come down from 520 crore last year to 509 crore this year, which is a drop of 2.2% in spite of the 27% increase in the volume. In case of castings, casting sales have been flattish from 31,499 metric ton to 31,205 metric ton, one of the reasons being subdued demand for castings from tractor industry and also many things required to be done to ramp up the outputs and sales from all the three foundries from KFI. With this, the casting sales has gone down to 395 crore against 4,066 6 crores, 2.9%, also because of 2% drop in the sales realization. Casting sales realization, which was 1,29,000 rupees, has come down to 1,26,000 rupees, which is a drop of 2%, which is because of the passing on of the commodity price reduction to our customers. We continue to work on our projects. Right now, as I mentioned, the blast furnace one, changing the bell to bellless top, and also certain technological upgradations being implemented. With respect to coke oven and power plant, we have commissioned phase two, and we are running full on coke making, and power plant also, all the boilers commissioned, and we are now right now optimizing on power generation and power consumption, whereas we have started selling the power to the grid and into the exchange. With respect to other projects, we have commissioned Foundry 2 in Solapur, and now we have already started working for increasing the capacity of Line 2 in Solapur to go to full capacity, which would be close to 40,000 metric ton per annum. And we have also started the project activity for the large foundry, which is a two-part foundry. As regards the borrowing, we continue to similar level of borrowings, and no major increase with respect to last year, substantial reduction because of the certain payments. We are at 895 crores of total borrowing against 887 crores end of the last quarter and 1132 last year. With respect to casting demand, the demand from auto industry, commercial vehicle industry continues to be strong, and subdued demand requirement from the tractor industry. And we are working for increasing the output from Line 2 in Solapur, and we expect increased sales to come from the coming months in order to achieve higher capacity utilization, including the Line 2 in Solapur. This is in brief from my side as opening remarks. I would like to take questions, if any, from the analysts. Thank you very much for joining, and over to question answers.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. We take the first question from the line of Ashraf Patel from Molecule Ventures PMS. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, my first question is in our pig iron segment. This quarter has seen significant volume loss on account of MBF closures. So please quantify the volume loss for Q1, and what are the volumes we are targeting for Q2, given that MBF 1 will again be closed throughout the Q2?
Yeah. The current capacity, if you ask me, we are at a level of 55,000 metric ton per month of hot metal, approximately, which takes us to 1,65,000 full quarter, all three furnace operations. That's our capacity today. And against that, as you mentioned, I expect our production from Blast Furnace 1 to start from around 10th of September, and quarter 2 volume should be similar or slightly more than quarter 1.
Okay. And sir, do we still maintain our earlier estimate of 6 lakh metric ton in FY24?
I think there has been a slight downward capacity utilization in these 4 months. It looks to me it could be more like somewhere between 5,50,000 to 5,70,000 metric ton of total hot metal production in this financial year.
Sure, sir. So that will make us being only marginal volume increase over last 3 years in pig iron segment. So does this debottlenecking finally ends in FY24, and or do we expect, or is it an annual activity, maintenance shutdowns and everything?
With respect to debottlenecking to go to 55,000 gets completed, but we have another project which is pulverized coal injection plus oxygen enrichment. This is supposed to give us about 10 to 12% volume production increase from blast furnace 1 and 2. It depends on extent of oxygen enrichment, but this we will be ready towards the end of calendar year 23.
Got it, sir.
December 23. Yes.
Got it. And sir, as per AGM, you mentioned that in the AGM that our Q4 coking coal cost was around $250. So what was the cost, coking coal cost for Q1?
I don't have exact number, but in the range of about 270 to 280.
Sure, sir. So just summarizing the quarterly coking coal cost, given that our entire high priced inventory has been consumed because the current market price of coking coal is near to what our cost of consumption is, and realizations are already around 45,000 metric ton QOQ, why are we not seeing improvement in gross and EBITDA margins? Because of higher...
What has happened is two things. One is pig iron sales realization. Subsequent months, it has further gone down. Today, we don't have 45,000 realization. It has further gone down to maybe 43,000. So that's one reason why our margins have not kept are not improved by reduced coal prices. So we are losing on the sales realization and pig iron also. One, of course, other one is not operating all the three furnaces.
Got it. And sir, given that Coke Oven and CPP both were operational throughout the quarter, we expected significant improvement in the EBITDA margin, but it was not seen in Q1. So what factors do you attribute for lack of increase in the EBITDA margins?
No, one is definitely, lower margins coming because of pig iron prices being under pressure and to some extent higher price coal inventory.
Okay.
Only and these two. And as it is, you have seen because of the shutdowns, volumes also being low.
Sure. And can you please quantify the expected benefit for FY24 on account of Coke Oven and CPP?
No, it's as you have seen, it has been a very complex, it's not straightforward, because one is very clear that on the power we are getting benefit, which is improving from 6 crores per month to at least 10 crores, 11 crores per month on the power front. On the front of coal to coke conversion and coke consumption reduction, we have already got the benefit. Now we are getting the full benefit both in Hospet and Hiriyur, Koppal and Hiriyur. So only thing I would say that pig iron demand pickup and improvement in the pig iron prices is a need of the hour to mitigate the higher prices of iron ore. So we are almost paying more than 6,000 rupees per ton, whereas the iron ore prices have gone, but we are unable to increase the prices of pig iron. So there is a need for mitigation of pig iron price.
Got it. And sir, in casting segment, over the last year, we were seeing a robust demand throughout the year. Outlook was also very positive in the casting division. We also added new customers last quarter, but our volumes have been falling marginally over last three quarters back to back, despite the new foundry line being active and operational throughout the Q1. So what explains this situation? Is it demand side macro issues, or is it ramp-up and product approval-led delays from our side?
No, one is the line two in Solapur is yet to really get into the volume production, because before volume production, there are also approval requirements, you know, the new development, new foundry-related customer approvals are there. So more or less, that is falling in place. We expect quarter two, quarter three, we start getting some volume production and sales coming from line two. With respect to earlier three lines, overall capacity utilization, generally it is combination of tractor and auto blocks and heads. One of the sector being low, we can always load with the other, but there are overall, we still get some setback, and because of that, volume ramp-up has not happened. And on the operation side also, some of the headwind, and we will have to crack those and progress on to increasing the production and sales. Both are attributing to the flattish numbers on castings. I'm quite hopeful that we'll break that ice and move forward to increase the production and sales in coming quarters.
So what would be the revised volume estimates for FY 2024 in the casting segment?
Not really any major change at this point of. We have just completed one quarter. I will not immediately rush to change the volume estimate. We are still hopeful that we should be able to cross 150,000 volume for the whole year.
Sure. Thanks, sir. I have other questions. I will come back in the queue. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Sure. Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sunil M. Kothari from Unique PMS. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, sir, for opportunity. So my question is, we have got a little better realization quarter-over-quarter. Quarter four realization of casting was roughly 125,000. Now it is 126,000, and the bigger casting, the farm tractor-related casting, is also lower contributing to. So what has changed, if you can talk?
Basically, it shows that higher realizing auto sales has improved, whereas the low realizing tractors sales has come down. Maybe couple of basis points, a couple of percentage points, but it still makes some difference. But we can't remove 30%-40% tractor castings and add exactly 30%-40% of auto casting. So that's why the volume growth is not coming, but small realization growth has come compared to last quarter.
Okay.
It's the product mix result.
Right. Sir, we-
Whereas we have given some reductions to customers.
Okay. Okay. Sir, we have spoken about two new global OEM customer in our annual report, and we increase share in existing customers also. We have increased machine casting and new order with machining also we are expected to get. So how you see combination of all these things during maybe current year and next year, looking at the exports opportunity and new customer addition?
No, I think, see, the way there is a demand requirement from customers and a lot of castings being developed in all the lines currently, I still feel that we should continue to have volume growth of 12 to 15% this year and maybe 10 to 12% next year also. That is the kind of growth what is expected because that's also required in line with capacity utilization to come from the new lines.
So, sir, will this exports opportunity, higher machine casting, should it improve better realization per ton in a better fashion, or it will remain in this type of range?
No, I think the machining value will not make any dramatic change in the sales realization. Sales realization, one is it's linked to commodity, pig iron and steel scrap prices. Second one is all the new developments are high-end castings. Some of them are going towards now Euro 7, and that way, more complex castings, and I expect new casting developments would be at the higher sales realizations, which will push our overall sales realization also improving year after year.
And sir, any development on iron ore mines mining and the mine ore to be lifted?
The file movement was not happening because of declaration of elections, then because of new government formation. After that, the one of our file out of the two mines has started moving. We got one of the important approval, and but still some more approvals are required. We are optimistic that out of the two mines, at least one mine will get through to the operations as early as possible, whereas the second mine has some major problem or major challenge with respect to declaration of the mines area as wildlife reserved area. So that's yet to be resolved.
Mm-hmm. So my last question is, we are paying almost 25-30 crore on a standalone and consolidated level, the interest cost. How do you see this? Will it increase further, or we are hopeful that it will not go ahead from here?
No. Right now, as you have seen, we are maintaining the borrowing and the interest cost at that level. We progress, if there are opportunities which are attractive, whether it is acquisition of the North Foundry or any other opportunity, including solar power plant opportunities. Our focus is on how we manage the investments to the cash generation, but if it is required, we will borrow, and it may have slightly increased the interest cost. But as a philosophy, we would like to maintain the borrowing and interest rates at current level unless there is a important progress on to any of the projects of acquisition or important progress on any of the important project coming up. But otherwise, this interest rate is likely to continue for some time and not increase dramatically.
Thank you, sir. Wish you good luck.
Thank you, Sunil.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lalit Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, sir. Are you seeing any uptick in terms of realization in the last few months for the pig iron from 45,000?
No, I couldn't get your question, sir.
The realization in terms of our pig iron 45,000 MTPA, right? Are we seeing any northward movement in this? What is the blended realization for FY24 you're expecting?
Right now, I am not seeing any major increase in the pig iron prices. But if you ask me today's market condition, I would say that there is a bit of shortage of steel scrap in certain types of steel scrap. And I also see the price increase of steel and pig iron to an extent of 1,000 rupees per ton in the northern market. It is maybe early sprouts, and I hope that that should trigger a some improvement in the pig iron and steel scrap prices.
Okay, and I think in AGM we had mentioned, sir, for coking coal prices at $250. Now you said that it is $280. How much of this we have been able to pass on to the end customer?
No, I just mentioned that last quarter it was in the range of 270-280, but currently whatever is our blend, it is towards linked to $250, you know, prime coking coal. Some reduction is happening with respect to the cost of coal what we consume, but pig iron prices have also slipped during these months. So margins continue to be under pressure unless the pig iron prices pick up. With that only the margin improvement is possible.
Again, our current capacity utilization level is how much?
See, the current capacity that I just mentioned, you know, we are likely to end this year with 5,50,000 liquid metal production, pig iron production. And we expect quarter three and quarter four to be full, which is 1,65,000. And once we commission pulverized coal injection, we expect further improvement in the output.
Got it. And textile industry demand side, you're seeing any uptick there over there?
Which industry?
Textiles and pumps.
Textile?
Yeah.
Not really any major change there. I just mentioned that metallic cost or metallic price small improvement of about 1,000 rupees per ton is seen in the North Indian market. I only hope that that should sustain and should result into further improvement in the prices of pig iron. But right now, I would say it's only a early indicator. There's nothing much to support beyond that.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Lalit Kumarji.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Radhika Rathi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. I wanted to ask, we have earned a EBITDA margin of 14% this quarter. I just wanted to know what is the percentage margin of pig iron and castings separately?
I don't have exact separately, but I would say casting margins are better compared to pig iron margins. Pig iron margins are under pressure. 1 minute, let me see if I have the figures. EBITDA margin, okay. I don't have separately for pig iron and foundry, but I would only say that better margins in castings and lower margins in pig iron.
Okay. And sir, I wanted to know what is your views about market outlook for pig iron, including the demand and the NSR part. In which industry do you think the demand would be more?
See, basically, as you see, overall, iron and steel industry has been under headwinds. We are definitely affected because of that. And typically, monsoon time, you can expect secondary steel manufacturing is down because of the construction activity being down. I expect that if not early, by 15th of August or by September, we expect improved demand for steel, secondary steel, and then that should also trigger some improvement in the pig iron prices. And that is typically the trend in this industry. I expect that it should improve. It can't remain the way it has remained over the last 4 or 5 months.
Okay. And sir, one more question. We have a project about pulverized coal injection. So I wanted to know what do you think would be the benefit in terms of rupees per ton?
See, typically, we expect our overall basket, we should be able to replace 100 kg of coke by 100 kg of coal, and we save half of the cost. So, it depends on coke prices. If they are at 35,000, we save 16,000 rupees, 100 kg. So you can say we should save about 700 to 800 rupees per ton of hot metal. It's a substantial saving, and everyone goes for it, and we are going for it. 700-800 rupees per ton is a big saving, and that should add to our contribution and EBITDA.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good evening, and thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is regarding Oliver. We have any updates, or can you give us any updates on the progress of that?
I have been told that we should have the update by 10th of August. So the one more date, but that is the date given to me.
Right, sir. Right, sir. My second question.
The creditors have to come back, so we are awaiting. We have completed all our activities. What is expected from our side is done. Creditors have to come back to us, which has to go to the NCLT. We are awaiting for that. I think should happen, and next date I have been told is 10th of August.
Right, sir. So just to follow up on that one, sir, if at all we get that asset, we'll have a lot of extra capacity when it comes to the Solapur line two and this one also. So do you envisage that much of demand that we'll be able to ramp up both these foundries in the next 1-2 years? I mean, do we have that much demand to work parallelly on both?
See, typically, Sahil, we should take that any new foundry will take 3 to 4 years to load to full capacity. It won't happen in 1 or 2 years because you need to develop castings, you have to ramp up, go for engine testing approval, then ramp up, resolve quality issues. So 3 to 4 years, if it is. So we expect that that's the kind of load production increase we expect from that line. If it is 40,000, I reach 36,000 in the fourth year of operation. This year can be taken as first year of operation. 10,000 to 12,000 is what I expect in the first year, and then it should keep adding. But we are also trying to increase the output from line two in Koppal. Again, so we have to break some productivity issues, etc. And overall, that's how we are saying that from 130,000 last year, how we can go towards 150,000 is what we are looking for. Hope that we should be able to crack it, but it's hardcore manufacturing, and we have to really get the support of the market, and we have to also crack some of the challenges to achieve the productivity increase.
Right, sir. Right, sir. My second question is regarding the steel plant that we want to commission in Koppal, sir. I understand we are awaiting the EC, but when do we start spending for it, sir?
No, right now we have already got the terms of reference, and by end October, we should then go for the public hearing, and then let's hope that by end of 2023 calendar year or early 2024, we should have consent to establish.
Okay, post which?
And then we take a couple of years, 2.5 years to establish this steel plant.
Okay. Okay. The CapEx, whatever it is, will be spread over 2 years, right, sir? Once we get the consent.
CapEx, I hope it will start from next year. This year, starting the CapEx, I don't think anything. Small CapEx, basically, to get EC and all, but CapEx to start next year.
Got it, sir. Got it. And my last question is regarding, sir, the CapEx target we have for this year, sir, including ISMT.
I have spoken about this, in lots. For example, we have done with Coke Oven power plant. We are done with MBF one upgrade. We are done. But what we are currently working is this majorly solar power plant in ISMT.
Yeah. Mainly was asking the numbers, sir, rather than the projects.
See, I would say that our CapEx spending would be between the two, KFIL and ISMT, would be of the order of 600 crores per year.
Got it, sir. Got it. Got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Sheth from Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Thank you very much. Sir, sorry, I missed two things. You said that this coking coal, the power plant will start benefiting around rupees 10 crore per month from this new plant, correct?
No, both the plant put together, what was 6 crores of power per month, will go to 10 crores power per month. It has already gone.
Yeah. So new plant will help us. I mean, but that has happened gone in July or June already?
I think more like it has started from July.
Okay. So additional 4 crore kind of a benefit can happen.
In the power cost, yes.
Yeah. And with, sir, I mean, how much saving will be because of converting coal to coke also, which we are getting done through outside?
See, typically we take a benefit of conversion cost benefit of 1,500 rupees per ton as a benefit when we do it ourselves with our own CapEx. But it's a ultimately complex equation, coal, coke, pig iron price. So now it's part of our process. We have to see what EBITDA or contribution margin we are able to generate with coke oven. So there are no separate baskets now, having commissioned everything.
Yes, sir. And second thing, sir, with this pulverization happening and this debottlenecking, so we were talking of reaching, say, 7 lakh hot metal in somewhere in 2024. Is that still around there?
2024, 2025, I think we will be operating two blast furnaces with pulverized coal injection with both the blast furnaces upgraded. And in my view, that should give us all put together very close to more than 7 lakh metric ton is possible. Yes.
And how much for that we have to convert back to pig iron?
See, about 45 here and then 55, 60, 60 is 7.2. See, two important things which will happen. Around 3% is not, it becomes a skull. 3 to 3.5%. It's not pig iron. And some pig iron gets consumed in our foundries in Koppal and Solapur. And with merger of ISMT into KFIL, we will also be whatever we sell ISMT pig iron will be internal transfer. So I expect out of 7.2 lakh ton, about 1 lakh ton going for all this, sales will be 6.2 lakh ton.
Available for sales, correct?
Available for sales. You can say 6 lakh ton as available for sale till we start making steel. Once we start making steel, again it will come down, but steel will increase.
Sir, one more thing. On this ISMT, we have really turned around it very well, and in Q1, we have already reached a 12% margin. So can you explain, I mean, what has really helped to have this kind of a jump, and how do we see full year EBITDA and number for this? We were looking for, say, going to 3,000 rupees kind of a turnover from 2,600 last year. So where do we stand in this?
No, I think most important aspect is, the work what we have done in a stable operation of the plants, both steel making and tube making. We have brought a stability to 14,000 tons of tube sales per month, which you can say that it will amount to 1,70,000 kind of tube sales, I think, which has never happened in the past, never recent years. We brought the stability. Another is we have worked and improved the yield. We have worked and improved the cost structure. Stable operations have brought down the power and fuel costs in the company. We have worked and improved the sales realization and eliminated the wastages. All wastages have been tightened and have been optimized. So this is our skill set in turning around the companies. It's not turn around with solar power plant. It's turn around with the efficiency improvement, productivity improvement, sales volume increase, sales realization increase, raw material to sales reduction. This is the our typical way of working and reducing the the cost of manufacturing and achieving the turnaround. On top of this, now we will commission over the next 6 months a solar power plant, and which we expect to give us a benefit of around 6 crores in the power cost reduction. So that is on top of whatever has been done now. In this year, we have also taken up debottlenecking projects in ISMT Baramati and also debottlenecking in Jejuri, which we expect that as we go to next year, we should be able to go towards from 170, we should be able to go towards 2 lakh tons of sellable tube. That would be another, 17-18% increase in the output. I don't say that there won't be any headwinds. There will be challenges, but we expect to increase the output, which gives us the cost reduction as well as increased sales and increased contribution and EBITDA. And in the meantime, we are also working whether we can also add some windmill again, renewable energy and additional solar, again renewable energy. Those projects, as they join our cost reduction efforts, that will support improving the EBITDA margins in steel and tube as well. These projects are also aimed not only for increasing the profit, but also to make the businesses sustainable. That is the aim. You know, we can't expect or we can't take it for granted that all the market conditions, the businesses are sustainable. It is extremely difficult to support in any industry 15% power and fuel cost. We have no choice but to bring down the power and fuel cost to 5% level as a requirement to make the business sustainable. And if the market conditions are favorable, we get the benefit of higher profitability, but it is also for sustainability of business. Thank you very much.
Sir, so this year we expect around 12%
of... I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Bharat. May we request you to join the question queue, sir? We have several participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your question to two per participant. We take the next question from the line of Manish Goyal from Thinkwise Wealth Managers. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you so much. Sir, a few questions. One on the power cost as we have been discussing. So what we see is that at KFL also at quarterly basis, the power cost seems to be on a higher side, despite we have commenced the second phase of waste heat recovery. So is it purely due to increase in grid cost and we are not yet getting the full benefit of the incremental power generation?
No, I think you must... take note that KFIL has three plants. One is Koppal, the other one is Hiriyur, and in Karnataka both, and third one is Solapur. So as we, Solapur power costs are higher, but being foundry, we consume a lot of power from the grid. That is why we are also working for, we have one 11.6 megawatt solar in Solapur, but we will need another 15 to 17 megawatt solar in Solapur to mitigate the power cost. So the higher power cost mainly attribute to Solapur's foundry power consumption and a little bit in Hiriyur, whereas it is quite efficient at Koppal.
Okay, so sir, so did we mention that the benefit of increase from 6 crore to 10 crore will happen from the month of July?
No, they have already started generating and the benefits have started coming from July, yes.
Okay, and we also mentioned that we'll be selling excess power to the grid. So that benefit also
that,
have started seeing?
No, that is included in that 6 to 10.
Okay. And sir, on the ISMT, as we were discussing right now, what we see is that in the Q1, the improvement at the ISMT is entirely driven by improvement in the tubes business. And that is also what we see is that the revenues have not gone up significantly, but the profits have jumped from 3% margin to 13% margin. So you did mention that realizations have improved, cost has declined, but in terms of revenue mix, has it changed in terms of higher sales to the exports market? Because last full year, what we see is that export realization were far higher at around 189 rupees as compared to domestic at 119. So, and also, are we selling more in exports so as to get a better profitability?
I have not collected all the information on export. Yes, there is export, but more important is lower pig iron price and lower steel prices are conducive for the tube margin improvement. And consistent volume production and sales is conducive for the sustained margins and profitability for the tube business. I think that has made, and also the market demand being good, we are in a position to increase high realizing market sales to better extent than sales of low realizing products or trade sales.
Okay, okay. And
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. May we request you to join the question queue?
Just last one question, ma'am. On the casting side, sir, the incremental volumes of 20,000 tons, what we expect, and going forward also the volume increase. So how much can we probably look forward from the new programs or the new customers coming in, like say 15% growth, 12 to 15% growth? How much can come from the organic growth from the existing, and how much can come from the new customers, sir?
I would say both are happening, but going forward, more volumes will come from the new customers, whereas auto earth-moving equipment, all the customers are growing. I think it would be a good blend of both.
Okay, okay. Fine, sir. Thank you. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Digant Haria from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead, sir.
My question is also in the annual report, we have mentioned that our vision for 2030, that the tube volumes will be around 0.3 million or 3 lakh tons. So today we are already at a run rate of 170,000 tons, as you mentioned. So just wanted to know, you know, why is there such a low ambition on the tubes front? And you know, because that we assume is the most profitable or the highest margin product. So any thoughts here would be helpful, sir.
No, I think the moment if I put a bigger figure, you will ask me, give me details of how you will go to that figure. So 3 lakh ton, I can tell you that this is capacity utilization, etc. But the moment I put 4 lakh or 5 lakh, you will ask me what acquisition, which new plant we are setting up. So we really don't have any concrete plans of acquisition or concrete plans of setting up a new tube. What we are saying is between Baramati and Ahmednagar, it is possible to go towards 2 lakh metric tons of sales, 2 lakh 50,000 metric ton of sale. 3 lakh is aspirational, really going out of the way to achieve the highest level of productivity. But beyond that, it definitely means bringing one more plant. Right now, we do not have any concrete plans to go beyond that. Not that we don't want to go, we definitely want to go, but currently this is what is in the concrete plan of actions, but we will keep our options open to go beyond 3 lakh ton as well.
Sure, sure. Thank you, sir. Last question is, on the alloy steel, our aspiration is 1 million tons. So, you know, what would be the tentative end markets that we target when our alloy steel plant comes on stream and when we eventually reach that 1 million ton kind of a number?
No, ideal thing is, you know, Jejuri becoming green steel plant and rolling and selling all the steel, because it has a customer base and we need to build on the market to take it to 3 lakh ton of rolled steel sales. Whereas we build in two phases, 7 lakh metric ton at Koppal. We don't have concrete plan for second 3.5 lakhs. We just have it for the first 3.5 lakh ton. But ultimately, if we complete steel plant phase 1 and phase 2, 0.65 to 0.7 million ton, we would rather look at rolling everything into seamless tubes. Or it could be some part of it, different product, it could be anything, any other application. But there is a possibility to expand seamless tubes to higher levels. As you asked me, why only 3 lakh ton, why not more? That is the provision we are keeping, that we should be able to expand beyond 3 lakh ton.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bobby J from Falcon. Please go ahead.
If one looks through your annual reports for the past 10, 15 years, you've been constantly doing CapEx. And
your voice is not clear. Can you be a little bit close to the mic?
Right. What I'm saying is, if you look through your 10, 15-year annual report history, you've been constantly doing CapEx in terms of modernizing your plants, right? What I wanted to understand was that, does this give you any sort of competitive advantage over your competitors? Because if everyone else does the same, this just constantly increases your cost base without any increase in return on capital. So how do you see this?
Good question. I think it's a question to also important to brainstorm on this. But it has given us a competitive edge because of the technology upgrade, because of the manufacturing capability upgrade in the casting field. We don't make any more ordinary castings. We make high-end castings. We make high-value castings, which gives us higher margin, higher competitive advantage. Our plants are mechanized, automated, and robotized plants. So definitely there is a competitive edge. What is planned at the pig iron site, though it is a commodity, and if you look at the productivity levels and variable cost levels, I think we have brought sustainability, but there are headwinds. But I think subsequently, if you look at what we are trying to do in the steel, and I think it is opening up new opportunities, and return on capital these days are much, much better than return on capital earlier period. I think it has, if you look at all the financial parameters of the company, have in spite of the capexes, these are very fast payback, and returns on capital employed are more attractive these days than 10 years back.
Okay, I understand. A follow-up would be, how do you compare the economics of the ISMT steel tube business to your traditional pig iron and casting business? Is it much better?
I think it is a logical extension on the forward integration side. One of the way to change is, why sell more and more pig iron at 45,000 rupees per ton? Why not sell tube at 150,000 ton? From pig iron, we make steel blooms, and steel bloom goes to Baramati, and then we roll it to seamless tubes, and then it gets further value added. I think it is a forward integration, logical product upgrade, and even alloy steel at Jejuri, making it green steel, making use of more, the renewable energy. I think it's the future, and we can make very, very fine quality steel. I think all this really is a good combination. We are going to redefine the business itself, so not just turn around, but redefine the quality of the business, the quality of the product, and growth prospects coming up in that. I think it's going to be quite exciting for us to take that. When we say tube, I don't have to do only seamless tube. We can do spun pipe. We can do welded tubes. We can do many tubes. I think it's opening up the market for KFIL. I think our opportunities get increased. I don't have to be bogged down only with Pigeron and castings. Yes, casting is interesting field. It's growing and we are committed to that. But Pigeron, I don't think I will sell 1 million ton Pigeron. We are saying we won't sell more than 500,000 ton of Pigeron. Because why do we sell that? Because there is a market. There is continuous. The foundries need good quality Pigeron and we are committed to give them 500,000 ton, including our own foundries and our own steel plant.
Right. From what you said, can we then surmise that more of the capex will be spent on your steel tube business versus your pig iron business going forward?
Yes, you are right, sir. Steel and tube. And casting continues for some more, maybe one or two foundries more. Yes. But otherwise, the futures on steel and tube would be the future of KFL.
I understand. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Great questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, I'd like to thank all the the analysts and investors on the call today. We had great interesting questions coming from all of you. Thank you so much and look forward to meeting you the quarter two conference call. Thank you very much. Back to Pallav.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.